matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's roll.
This time, I'm not going to do some kind of clever introduction. Not going to do it.
You mean, no, what are you saying, like, you haven't prepped?
Eh?
You haven't prepped one, have you?
No, but...
There you go, that's why you're not doing it, let's be honest. Have you shaved that V? Because normally it's quite hairy up there. Have you shaved?
No, that's just the
Oh, yeah, you were showing me your hairy chest the other time.
There was hair there.
So we were doing this to each other, weren't we?
This is not the introduction I was after. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the MPL show. We're back down here at the Magnet, the first MPL show of 2014. So Happy New Year to you, dear listener. And Happy New Year to everyone around the table. We're joined by Swampy from FCUM Radio. Hello.
Good evening.
From James Hayes from the MPL.
Start again. Come on, you can't do that. You can't.
I can edit that.
You can't start again. 2014.
And we've got Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Are you starting again?
No, I'm just carrying on regardless.
Well, if we're carrying on, hello everyone.
Hello, Ian Burke.
That's ridiculous. We've got
Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
And we've got Roy Sill. Hi, Roy.
Hi. Yeah, odds.
There's only four things you can worry about on a football pitch.
For those wondering where Roy Sewell is, Roy Sewell is in a car coming back from Bolton for some reason.
Yes, he works there.
He works in Bolton?
Yes, he works at the college there. He's a teacher.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because he's got all his qualifications.
He has his petals, his nettles, his kettles.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Right, it's customary, of course, to start at the top of the MPL, and I described this off-air as the day of reckoning, and we all have to do that pantomime noise that we all did. Charla against Skelmersdale United this Saturday at Victory Park.
Ooh!
That is the...
See, that's not...
I tell you what, don't fall into his flippant plan. Oh, goodness me. The day of reckoning? What is this? US blockbuster films?
Yeah. Starring. Hey, if you don't think Magpie Watch are going to start without Star Wars... music, then you're missing a trick.
What Star Wars music is that? Can you do that again for us?
I'm never going to hit that note.
Operatic Star Wars, was it? Very good.
So it's top against second. We'll start off with you, Swamper, I think, as customer, because you've always got a lot to say. At the minute, Skem have got, they've played four games more than Charlotte. They're 4 points clear. It's a bit of a must win, though, isn't it, really, for Skelmersdale?
Not necessarily, in all fairness. I mean, there's plenty of games to go. They've obviously played 29 games, and you know they're there on merit. I mean, surely 25 games, as you say, that surely for me, as I said, if anyone finishes above Chorley, they've won the league this season. I've said that from the very beginning, and I still truly believe that. However, the one thing that might play into the hands of Skem is the fact that Chorley played last night, and not only did they play 90 minutes, they played then an additional 30 minutes, then went to penalties, unfortunately were beaten by Tamworth. However, I think Gary treated the FA Trophy in the way that it's a good opportunity to get the players playing, get them used to winning. They've gone, you know, on a very, very good run. I mean, the next game, if they got through, was against Grimsby. So he'll probably rally the lads and say, you know, well done. Let's get over that. The league now is our main concern. And I expect Chorley at home in front of a very boisterous crowd. It'll be a very, very good encounter if the game for FC United was called off on Saturday.
I'm going.
I would be going to Chorley. We would definitely be going.
You know what? We should have an MPL show day out if we're not going to Whitby.
You might as well do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the game will be on. But I mean, for me, I don't see it as a day of reckoning. I think it'll probably be a draw. That's my belief. That will be more beneficial probably to Skem though than to Chorley.
Burke.
Now, first off, hats off to Charlie getting that far in the trophy. It's top achievement. But I'm going to disagree with Swamp. I think this is massive, this one for Skem. If they don't win it, they might as well kiss bye-bye to the league, because Charlie, well, they're on a roll. They're going to be on a roll for the whole season, let's face it, and they need to be, and they really do. They've got four games in hand on them. I'm not sure what the difference is. Is it a 5 points difference, something like that? 2 points, is that it?
No, they're on
4 points.
4 points, yeah, 4 points.
You know, they've got to grab these points where they can, and tomorrow it's the best opportunity that they're going to have to put a little bit of space between themselves and the chasing pack. They've got to do it.
Well, maybe so, but at the same time, we're not talking about, you know, Skem going up as champions here. What we're talking about is Skem going to stay within the playoff promotion
play-off.
And I think they put
full
it
stop.
Well.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't. In that respect, I don't think it's you know, if Skem lose this game, that's it. It's all doom and gloom. Certainly not. They've got a real opportunity.
I think Berkey's right though with the title. Unless Aaron, what do you think?
No, I agree with Berkey. I think it's must win for Skem. I think if you look at teams who win the league in any kind of league around this standard, they win it with kind of six or seven losses to the name normally. Skem already have six. If they get a seventh against Chorley, the gap's closing and they've still got to go a long way to go, and they are going to still drop points. So I think it is must win for Skem if they want to stay in the title race.
I mean,
what do you think, James?
I mean, it's going to be a massive match, but I don't think it's going to decide the season. Because there's a third team involved now at the moment as well. I've
Well,
I don't know if it's a bit too early to say this.
Are you throwing in Works up?
Yes,
or are you going to bring Found back in?
I'm going to bring Works up into this one. They're on form at the moment. This all depends now.
They've just been beaten the last two or three games.
I'm just going to. I've got the notes here. I've got Workstop. Workstop. Workstop are still in third. Around Christmas, they beat Ilkeston and they beat Skem, of course, 3-2. However, they're on a bad run at the moment. They've lost 1-0 at Matlock on New Year's Day, 3-2 to Fylde, and got beat at home to Trafford 2-1.
Thing is, it's still third in the table, and at the start of the season as well, we're one of the teams no one mentions to be up there. So we've got the shock factor. Now we're in this business end of the season, and the fact we've had a clear Christmas as well, it's going to come down to now who's got the balls to continue going on.
Did you say reet come down to? I'm Northern here.
You said that, James, you've seen the shock factor there. But you rewind to the start of the season and we were going around the table and we were saying, who's the dark horse? I said Skem. I said Worksop. And they've got Leon Metzen. They've got Tom Denton there up front. The thing is, I think they've been unsettled by this because people in the Football League are looking at Leon Metzen. He's banged in
29 goals.
Exactly. How can you be on best part of 30 goals before the end of January? It's absolutely ludicrous. It's brilliant. And Tom Denton, big Tom, 6'8" or whatever he is, you know, he's not the best footballer in the world, but he's got teams in the conference.
As he needs to be.
Exactly. He's got his frame.
The thing is, though, we say about Metzen, but Worksop in general, their goal scoring is... well, quite frankly, ridiculous, isn't it, really?
Well, I mean, it's not ridiculous, really.
It's compared to everyone else.
Well, no, they've scored 83 goals. Right. I mean, 66, 56, 58, 54. They've scored 20 goals more than everybody else.
That's
fair enough. It's ridiculous. Well, I don't know if it's ridiculous. I mean, they've scored more goals. I think the one thing, though, I mean, Metzen, yeah. I mean, the one thing about Worksop, I mean, you know, is that they, at this stage of the season, ordinarily put a little bit more money into the club to players, and then they normally move on. I think we're all in agreement, to be honest, at the beginning of the season that the Worksop, and I don't know where you got the information from, James, because you were on the show. That I think we all suggested that Worksop would be there or thereabouts, as they are every year, because they're a club that actually do and can bring certain players in when they need to. If they lose Metzen, which they quite easily do during the January window.
And they've got three players who are on double figures.
Well, Muldoon scored about 13 or 14. I mean, he's come from Frickley and he's done well in a free scoring team. But at the same time, they've conceded a lot of goals. And conceding a lot of goals suggests to me in the last three games they've been beaten. Yeah. And I had a wee wager with somebody on the day that they had the first defeat, and they've been beaten every time since there. It's only a pint on it, and I wish them well because my old fella used to play for them, so I have an allegiance to Worksop Town. But going back to the whole Skem thing, I don't think I don't think Skem have to go to Chorley and to win. They have to go there and not get beat. I expect them, really, in all honesty, to stay, because the other teams like Worksop, like Kingsley, like Fylde, they've all got similar. No, I know, but they're all similar games. Yeah. So
there's a structure to this show, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah, you're just sticking because you can edit it the way you want to.
Kingsland Town are currently in fourth, and they played more games than anyone else around them, though. But they're in a big pack of teams, and we'll come to that shortly. AFC Fylde, though, have been on a bit of a bounce back recently. They obviously got beat to FC, Kingsland, Skem, and Chorley. However, in the last couple of games, they've been winning against Ashton and Worksop.
Ashton United, the best team in Europe, you mean?
Do I mean that?
That's exactly what I mean. There's this German betting website which reckons Ashton United are the best team in Europe. They overtook Bayern Munich last week, so when they beat Dresden 9-0. So
on the Autobahn, they were actually in the coach, flying past.
But with that defeat to Fylde, yeah, obviously they're going to tumble down the table a little bit. But thing is, Fylde, yeah, they've gone through the bad patch now, maybe. and we were all expecting it to be up there, you know, top three probably by the end of the season, and you know, they're just showing signs of recovery again.
At this stage of the year, it's difficult to know where everyone truly is with the games in hand and who's played what, but a few weeks ago I interviewed, right, here we go, David Hayfarn-Thwaite.
Can I have the spoon back now? Well done.
The AFC Fylde chairman before FC United's triumphant victory against AFC Fylde at their place. So,
did you have tickets?
Let's not get into that on the show.
Right, it's a very windy day, but what else would you expect in December? But I'm joined by a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, David Hayfarn-Thwaite, chairman of AFC Fylde.
Right, I think you're the biggest name we've ever had on this show so far.
The longest name, probably.
So, obviously, AFC Fylde.
Yep.
The main talking point about you at the start of the season was you were up there as one of the favourites along with Charlie. How do you think the season's gone so far?
Yeah, I think I suppose a surprise package has probably been Skemmersdale. I mean, they've done very well. I think, you know, Tommy Lawton, he does a fantastic job there at Skem, bringing people in. So they've been a surprise package. I think everybody else is pretty much where we expected. Obviously, today our opponents, FC United, you know, are always going to be up there as favourites. We've unfortunately been plagued by injuries. We've had four key players out with injury over the last 6 weeks, and that doesn't help. But we're nicely placed. We're in third position, and I think, you know, we're happy with that going to New Year. We've a really tough run coming up now for the next few weeks, accumulating with playing Worksop. They're on fire at the moment on the 4th of January. And so we've got to play yourself, Skem, Chorley away New Year's Day, Worksop at home. So a tough schedule for us.
On the Christmas special, we highlighted the Skelmersdale match on Boxing Day as probably the biggest one of the Christmas calendar throughout the league.
Yeah, I would say it probably is. You know, Skem will... looks like they'll come here, maybe top, maybe Chorley will be top, and you know, they're always going to give you a good game. One of the things that we're quite proud of here is our pitch. I'm sure you've seen it today. You know, we're probably one of the best in the league, if not the best, and it's great to play football, but also sometimes it can go against you because teams like to come and they see the state of the pitch, and particularly teams like yourself, Skem, who like to play football. It's a great surface, so it can go both ways, that, so it'll be a good game against Skem.
So obviously Fylde, club with huge ambitions, we know all about the shirt sponsors and that kind of thing. Where are we on your plan at the moment? Is everything going to plan?
Yeah, our plans have been submitted to the authorities. It's going to be determined at the planning meeting in February. As with everything of these things, and I know United had the same problem, there's always some protesters. Yeah. Funnily enough, I was at a protest meeting last night held in the local town of Wesham. But I think this one is now, it's certainly fairly evenly split, with half for it and some against it. As with always, when you've got something like a football club, it's controversial because people will stir up whatever they want to do to suit their cause. And of course, they always say there's going to be football hooligans running around and all that kind of thing. But in general, we're reasonably confident that things will go ahead. And if that does, we should be able to start building in April.
And building in April, it's very ambitious. £18 million, isn't it, the overall scheme?
Just to be clear on that, the grounds are going to cost us about £4.5 million, I think about the same as FC United. Yeah. We've got the same architect, ironically, and in actual fact, Barnes, who's building theirs, is also going to be bidding on ours. So there's a lot of tie-ups there. But the ground's about £4.5 million, and the outside pitches, all weather pitches and indoor, are about another £3.5-4 million. The actual other part of that £18 million comes with all the enabling developments and Aldi store on there and all those kind of things to help us. So the whole thing's £18 million. The football side's actually £4.5 million plus the other £4 million, which is the other facilities, which we hope is going to bring us in, you know, the income that you need to run a football club.
When I've interviewed people, no disrespect to other clubs, when I've interviewed clubs like Rushall, they always say our mission is to stay in the league and be, you know, a positive member of the league. What's your ambitions as a football
club?
Yeah,
well, I mean, those who don't know me will probably know that I tried to buy Blackpool a couple of times. I'm a big Blackpool fan, always have been, and I wasn't successful. And 6 years ago, a friend of mine who's a my best friend and also the president of the club, Di Davis, persuaded me over a beer one night to get involved here, and I told him I was only going to get involved if we're going to have a real go and be serious, and why not aim to get in the Football League. So that was always our aim from the day that I got involved with this club.
And you're confident for this season? It's going to be tough.
I'm not.
There's a lot of...
Oh, you're never confident, are you? Whichever league you're in, I mean, to get out of Mull's been tough.
Particularly this league.
It's a tough league. I mean, we went and absolutely murdered Worksop 6-1 at their place, and you're thinking, well, where are they? And I think since that day, they've hardly lost a game.
For sure.
since that. So they're very strong, and obviously, yourselves, Skemmersdale, I say, surprise package. I think it's going to be, and Chorley, and I think Chorley have a good side. They've been on a good run. I think they put a good squad together. So I think it's down to, I think it's us, Skem, you, I think, and Chorley, those are going to be the ones. I think works up. Whether or not they'll be in the mix at the end, I didn't see the game last week, but it's all right scoring a lot. But you've got to defend. They don't know how to defend, do they? I hope they're not listening to this. But I mean, so you've always got a chance, haven't you, when you're playing that? So we'll see. I think those will be the five at the end.
I've got an idea. Let's go get one. Thanks for joining us on the MPL show.
Yeah, no Cheers, problem. Thank you.
So that was me there talking to David Haythornthwaite.
It made a lot of sense.
Right, so.
He did, yeah. The worst thing about this show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're out there listening, is you may, well, one of you is.
Well,
at least.
Someone is.
Someone's listening, yeah, of course. We never get to hear that, do we? So we can't make a comment. I just keep saying, let's listen.
All
to
you
it.
Need
so
to make, know.
No, all you need to know is what?
It was very windy.
Well, we know it was windy.
Right.
But what were his points? I mean, we want to either pick them up to pieces, or we want to agree with the chairman.
Now, we mentioned... I'm moving on.
He does every week.
We mentioned...
His show.
Ashton United. They've got a game on the 1st of February against Rushall Olympic, and both those teams, along with Fylde, Kings Lynn, Blyth Spartans, FC United and Whitby Town, are all separated by 2 points from 5th down to 10th, which is amazing. And FC are playing Whitby this weekend, obviously, as well. Is it that amazing, Aaron?
It's exciting. It's exciting to follow. That's what it is. They're all closely bunched together. It's kind of chopping and changing each week who's in there. I watched Ashton last week against Buxton. Thought they were.
Did you know they're the best team in Europe at the moment?
I've heard it a few times.
All these teams though in this chasing this final two spots in the playoff positions.
Well, I watched Ashton last week and I thought they were very good. They played at a real good tempo. Maybe not the best technical footballers in the side, but they were dogged, determined and effective. They scored 2 good goals. I'd expect them, if they were to play like that for the rest of the season, to make it. As Steve Halford somehow seems to make do with all the teams he manages, he seems to churn out good performances out of them.
A team very much in his own image, him and Paul Phillips co-managers there. Acker's big, strong, domineering centre-half. And his team, like you say, Aaron, they're not the most beautiful to watch, but they're effective. They just play the game. They go out there with a game plan and they execute that plan very well, generally.
James, in the promotion hunt, in the playoff positions, I'm going to leave the final word to you.
It's mainly going to come down now to... I know you said word, but it's going to come down to now the change in the budget, because again... It seems in certain situations, the decisions to make now, go and gamble for example, it could affect them for the next 3 or 4 seasons.
Do we know anyone who has taken the jump yet and tried to invest in the squad before for the running? Do we know anyone who has?
What's it? Well, Joylston.
And on that note, that's time for the break. When we come back, we might discuss Drolsden, but we are going to talk relegation. You're joining us live at the Magnet, and we're going to go now for a drink at the bar. While we're having a drink, you're going to hear from the match day secretary at Buxton FC, my tips for the championship this season. Mike Barton, his name was, and I interviewed him.
He's a lovely man, and you slurred all that, by the way.
Yeah,
you slurred all of that.
I'm actually on a mixture of painkillers and...
Tamazepam.
And buttercup syrup. At the moment.
What's a good syrup?
So I'm actually doing very well. Anyway, Mike Barton.
What?
You have to shine it under your chin.
Yeah, the bottle. There's a bottle shine. Yeah, you can have it. It's okay.
Welcome to Silverlands here. And look at that view, by the way. It's lovely, isn't it? It's Saturday morning, bizarrely. And I'm here with a very, very special guest from Buxton. Would you like to introduce yourself to the dear listener at home?
Yes, my name's Mike Barton and I'm the football secretary here at Hoxton Football Club.
Not quite. We're on the same show. We've also got the AFC file chairman. So you're not quite that senior, but you're nearly there.
No, and I don't drive a Rolls Royce either, no.
So how's the season going so far at Buxton, would you say?
It's been very, very mixed, actually. We've been doing well against the better sides, but we've really struggled against the lesser lights or the teams down at the bottom of the league. And the other problem we've been having is conceding late goals this season. That I think it's been worked out that it's cost us 13 points so far in the last 10 minutes of matches. So apart from that, though, we've been playing well against the top sides, and it's been very, very entertaining. So
I'm going to let you into a little secret. In the start of the MPL show when we first did it back in August, my tip for the league this year was actually Buxton.
Oh, crikey.
Do you think you've still got it in you with 4 months left of the season?
No, I think playoff places is mostly what we're going for now. There's some good sides in the league.
It's a bizarre league at the minute, isn't
very
it, for the
bizarre
playoff spots?
Yeah, absolutely bizarre. I mean, Skelmersdale, to be honest, they come up here and didn't really perform. We give them a bit of an hiding that day, and there they are sitting pretty at the top of the table now. It's quite incredible.
With FC United, who we're playing today, obviously when this airs in January, people are already going to know the result of this game, that it got postponed due to floodlight failure, I'd imagine, or something like that. even though we're kicking off at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah.
But it's bizarre, isn't it? It goes down all the way to 10th at the moment at time of recording, I would suggest. There's Marine, there's dare I say it, Matlock as well.
Yeah.
King's Lynn.
Yeah, it's so open, it's just untrue. Absolutely untrue.
What's the aims for Buxton as a club overall, that regardless of the season, what are the, like, your 5-year plans and that kind of thing? Because obviously you're in this league at the moment. It's very competitive in the Peak District area with teams like Matlock as well.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate aim of Buxton?
Well, I think we've got one more league left in us. If we can go up to Conference North, I think that's where we should be. When I joined the club in a more professional role about 10 years ago, we were sat in the NCL and we said we've got three promotions in us. We've had two of those. We've got the club to where we are now. We're pretty well stable at this level. And I think our main problem at the moment is that the crowds are dying, really. We've got to start attracting more people back here to the Silverlands.
What's the competition around here? Because I interviewed in the last show the Rush Olympic vice chairman, and obviously they've got Walsall, Wolverhampton Wanderers, West Brom all on the doorstep.
Well, I always say that Buxton, we're in the middle of nowhere, but we're actually in the middle of everywhere. If you go around town, you'll see so many shirts of various clubs, and obviously both Manchester clubs, both Sheffield clubs, Derby, Stoke, Chesterfield, was Stockport County, Port Vale even. You know, we've got people that go off to all over, Liverpool, Everton, but... I think the competition, you can't really just say it's one club for around here, it's everybody. But I think the main competition now we've got on a Saturday is the football and the telly. It's just not doing us any favours whatsoever.
And for those people who are in the Buxton area who've never been here, it's a proper non-league ground.
It's cracking.
There's one of the best stands in this league, a main stand, and a good old fashioned terrace behind one of the goals. Sell it to the listener. Come on, what's so good about 3 o'clock on a Saturday here at Buxton?
Oh, crikey.
Other than the glorious pies, I should
mention. Well, there's the glorious pies, obviously wearing a big coat when you come here, but it is the standard of the football. I mean, just been banging on this season. The quality we have seen on this pitch, especially at the start of the season, has been better than anything on the on Sky. And that's with your City's, United's and anybody. It's been absolutely tremendous entertainment. And, it is just such a shame that we're only sort of getting 300 up here. You know, we should be getting more. And it is a shame that more people don't come.
Well, hopefully with the running, an exciting running, which is on the cards, it's got to be said, the crowds will pick up in...
Well, hopefully so, yeah. Going back to that, when I did start at the club 10 years ago, the crowds were virtually in double figures. You know, we'd do well if we got 150 on. And we turned it round very quickly at that time. I don't know, the momentum just went round town, and we need to get that back again. It was mainly on the back of an FA Cup run where we reached the fourth qualifying, and we took 700 to Burton, which is a lot for us.
Yes.
You know, we had was it something like 1,600 on against Radcliffe Borough for an FA Cup game. You know, the interest just needs to get going, and it's like turning a big ship round and getting that momentum going, and we need to do that again. You know, it's really important.
Well, thanks for joining us on the MPL show, and between me, you and the gatepost, I still think you're going to win the league.
Thank you very much. Thanks, absolute pleasure.
Cheers.
Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport for this 2014 show of the MPL show. Round the table, we're joined by the usual faces and voices, of course. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
Evening.
Which you can follow and get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/MPL, and on Twitter, @MPLgroup.
And be careful what you tweet on Twitter, of course.
Okay. It's getting a lot easier, though, that. It's getting a lot easier. Well done.
We're joined by Ian Burke, or hello. Burkey from Radio Manchester.
Yes, hello.
Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
And from Swamper from FC Radio on the non-league show.
What, the FC United non-league show?
You do all kinds of things, don't you?
I'm trying to catch up with Burkey, because obviously, not to not forget, I was honoured to be on his radio show live from Lancashire Cricket Club about a month and a half ago, two months ago. But I have to say, Burkey, next time you say to me, I need to be suited and booted, could you do the same, please? I went out and spent about a small fortune on a suit, on a looking dapper. I picked him up.
And
he looked like Carnell, our goalkeeper at FC United. His shirt tucked out, a pair of black slacks on. He looked basically like he'd just come in from the previous night.
Well, you know what happened? I've been to a wedding, right, and Mrs. Burkey, she'd put a load of stuff in the washing machine, including my suit jacket. And you're not meant to wash suit jackets, are you? They're meant to be dry cleaned, and it came out, and it was just a disaster. So, exactly, I've got no jacket anymore.
I tell you what, though, I've seen photographs of you in that suit, and you look quite fetching.
Yes, anyway. It was a good job as well, because it was a very high-profile la-di-da-do, and it was very, very, very good to be on there.
Welcome back to the MPL show. This is part two. And we're going to start off with the Dudeson. And FC United won last night against Ossett Town 2-1. AFC Fylde are through to the next round too after beating Nantwich. Chase Town are through after beating Barwell. Farsley are through and Loughborough Dynamo. There's three other fixtures to take place. Getting excited yet, folks?
No. Not really. No. Couldn't care less.
Oh, God.
They're out.
Ben!
I thought if I start reading team names and stuff...
I'll rescue it, Ben. Go on, don't worry.
You can't rescue it, Ben. Swamp, you can't rescue it because...
Why not?
Ossett Albion 1, FC United 2. When have you ever seen 275 people an FC United game? No one cares.
I have once.
Away from home on a Tuesday night?
To be fair,
What was that going to be? We weren't sure whether the game's going to be on or not.
Not in the league.
Great.
I have seen that crowd, and that was at a women's team match last year against City. Anyway, Aaron, your thoughts? I told you I'd come to you about the Dudeson.
Okay. Leave it at that. That was beautiful.
Let me tell you. Go on.
Listen, it is a cup competition.
Don't say the same thing.
It's a league cup. No. We complain, don't we? We keep saying it. We do complain about, oh, there's no games, we can't go to... This is a great opportunity to blood players. It's a good competition. Let's not forget, Dudeson... Kingsway, Levenshulme, insurance broker. I got my first car from them. It was quite cheap. I like them. And my car was yellow like this microphone. It's a good competition. It was a great game. It was a great game of football last night. It was for the purest. It was blood and thunder. It was really entertaining. Players that don't get ordinary a chance or maybe come back from injury. I mean, last night United had about four players suspended, three players injured. So we put this team together. Good game of football. Everyone enjoyed it. The pies were superb. Apparently, Steve Wood said he ate the middle bit. The peas and the chips are great. And it's Ossett. Ossett beer. Brilliant. Apart from don't sell it in the ground.
Now, James, you have a point to make. We'll get to you in a minute. Go on.
It's going to be Saturday rounds from now for the quarterfinals onwards.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Again,
I heard you said this in the break. What's that about?
They do it every year.
We've got a promotion campaign to get through. What's this?
You've got two free Saturdays. This is what the two free Saturdays in Matters are about. Have you not realised this yet?
Ben
Burke.
Right, Swampy was saying, it's the League Cup. Way! You win a cup for winning the league. You don't need a League Cup on top of it. It's absolute nonsense.
It's
not going to be the final word. I've got some games up here.
I was just going to say, because Andrew First was texting me, asking who this Ian Burke is now, after the fantastic word. Work we did last month promoting all of it as well, so
Right, well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Yeah, we built it up massively, and you've just poo-pooed it within 2 seconds. Get back to the conference!
Now, Brick Town are playing Frickle Athletic, Stamford are playing Carlton Town, and Witton Albion are playing Skelmersdale United. They're the remaining fixtures in the third round of the Dudeson.
I do enjoy it. I was the same opinion of you, Berkey. Last season, maybe the season before, but I've actually come round to realising, well, actually, you know, if we're not going to win the league and we're not going to win that the FA Cup or the FA Trophy, the FA Vars, well, there's another cup competition we've got an opportunity to win, and having silverware regardless when you haven't won for the, but I know Aaron's got an opinion on this, so I'll hand over to him.
I was going to say the FA Trophy and FA Vars, they're prestige names, they're prestige competitions that everyone loves to be in. Everyone loves a cup run in one of them.
And it's the same. I've
never met anyone who loves a cup run in the Dudeson Cup.
Well, we would all agree that the FA Cup itself is a tremendous, tremendous thing to be involved in.
Not for MPL sides. I think they did the right thing getting out of that before the first round.
Hey.
Right, now, back to this show.
What, was that a different show?
No, actually, it was last month's show. That's what that all that was.
Where's Berkey?
I weren't here.
We'd all agreed that it'd been all right.
You were at the last show.
No, he was
Paulies. I had the Paulies on me.
Yeah, the Paulies, yeah.
Right, so welcome back to the MPL show. Now it's time to talk about...
I love the Dudeson.
It's rubbish.
Now it's time to turn our eyes to the relegation battle taking place in the Premier Division. Now there are numbers side to, it would appear, are now officially doomed.
How do you get... What, do you get a stamp, like saying, I hereby authorise you to be officially doomed?
They've been officially MPL show ratified doomed. But Josh Dyson,
got a story about rats.
Josh Dyson, who's from FC Radio, he did an interview with Stafford FM's Gary Hazelhurst, who was on the show with us a couple of months back.
He's done
an updated interview with him, to see how he's feeling now about Stafford Rangers. Here's a little clue: when I interviewed him, he was already predicting relegation. Imagine how he's feeling now. So over to Josh and Gary.
Well, have we got any positives from Christmas period for Stafford?
To be totally honest, no. I think the fact that conceded 4 goals on both games was very, very disappointing. Defensively, very, very weak. Lots of changes to the side week in, week out. And for times in both games, first half hour against Nantwich Rangers looked okay. For periods of the game against Ashton, Rangers have looked a little bit of a threat going forward, but defensively in the middle of the park, they look far too weak.
I mean, I thought you started off quite well today. It was just after they got the first goal, you kind of thought...
Again, it was a mistake. It was a mistake from Griffiths in the middle of the park, and once Rangers had given the goal away, that was it, I'm afraid. You know, they're on the back foot week in, week out, and once they're on the back foot, they just can't seem to get it going forward.
So do you definitely think you're going down, and you can't see any way of you staying?
Not now. I mean, they'll, after the results today, I think they're going to be at least 15, if not 16 points adrift. Okay, there's plenty of games left, but Rangers just don't look like winning any game, never mind 5 or 6 to get level. There's no way Rangers will stay up, no way at all.
Do you only enjoy like the festive period, and obviously you've not done very well, but do you enjoy the games in quick succession?
Oh yeah, very much so. I mean, Christmas is all about family. Christmas is all about football for a football fan.
Yeah,
it's
always been
particularly enjoyable. And as I say, it's looking forward to the game on New Year's Day as well. And I think a lot of it is because it's football on New Year's Day. I fear the worst.
It's a football, it's a tradition.
I think Rushall will come to Stafford and do a thorough job on Stafford. They're a good side with a lot of Rangers old boys in there who have been, one of them particularly was released by the current manager, and he's going to come back with a point to prove. Sure he will.
Having watched Ashton today, how far do you think they can go this season? Are they as good as other teams you've seen?
It's difficult to tell the way Rangers are playing, to be honest. They look organised at the back. They've got plenty of threats going forward. And I think it's just keeping players fit. If they can do that, they're going to be there or thereabouts. I mean, Chorley are probably the best side I've seen this season. Skelmersdale haven't looked great in both games Rangers have played against them. But I think it is just on the day. If they can keep the likes of Pilkington, Rick, Johnson fit, they've got a chance. They keep scoring goals, then they're going to be up there.
Okay, thanks for that. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, no worries, thank you.
Right, so that was Josh Dyson there speaking to Gary Hazlehurst at Stafford Rangers.
I'll tell you what,
yeah,
I agree. You know what, he's a lot more upbeat, isn't he? He really is, I've got to say. He really is, you know, he's a lot better. I mean, he was suicidal when I spoke to him. Well, look at him now, blimey, there, Cocker, who be going to win the league? Europe!
Now,
Doosan Trophy, here we come! At the moment, that's what we could do, win the Doosan into Europe. How about that? It'd be worth winning
well,
them, wouldn't it?
We can't go through fair play, can we? Stocksbridge Park Steels will leave for the time being because they're borderline. Witten Albion are still in there, but they've got four games in hand over everyone else. Then there's some sides who are kind of hovering, I'd suggest. Grantham, Frickley, Stamford, and perhaps as high up as Barwell and Trafford. Swampy, what do you think?
I think you can discount Trafford, certainly. And I think you can discount Barwell. And you can possibly discount Stamford and even Frickley. And perhaps to a point...
Grantham. So,
Grantham.
Good luck, Witten.
However... no, I mean one thing that Witten have in their favour, and as I said, tremendous club, steeped in history, you know, previous to where they are now, one of the oldest grounds in the Football League. Well, in football in general, sorry, I should say, in football in general. And it's not, as I said, it's not been a surprise for me that they are where they are. We tipped at the beginning of the season to have a good season. With everything that's gone on at the football club, it's been a travesty and a real shame because it has affected them, continues to affect them. I think those games they have in hand will get them out of the mire, will get them out of the mire just. The two teams below them, well, I'm afraid I really can't see Stafford or indeed Drosden. What you're seeing is you're seeing the death of a famous football club. Drosden are famous around the world, people know who they are, and it's a great shame because that could end up becoming a car park literally because of, you know, the situation they're in, because to go a division down even further is going to be the death knell of that football
isn't
club.
Isn't it beneficial though, as Eastwood have kind of proved, because they've solidified since they got relegated, that if you get relegated early, well, kind of solidified, if you get relegated early, you can plan ahead.
You can't really plan ahead for this though, because they are an amateur club at the minute. They're not paying anybody, everyone's there on an ad hoc basis. Dave Pace is saying, well, basically the first 11 people to show up, they're in the team. You know, it's just, they've gone through, I think there must be in three figures now, but, you know, with the players that they've used this season, they put in an approach. I heard a few different figures, but one was as low as 21, the other one was as high as 50. Of the amount of players that they put in 7 days' notice in last week.
Well, if you look at the goals against, actually that mirrors the amount of players they've had.
It probably does.
116.
At time of recording, that's 116.
But it is, yeah. Going back to Witten, though, they've played 25 games, around 27 points. They're 5 points behind Grantham. They're only just getting a point a game. You know, they've got them four games in hand.
What I'd say about Witten, though, is that they're not shipping goals like a relegated team would do. The goal difference is only minus two.
They're not scoring, though, either.
They're not scoring loads, but the teams who go down tend to be, well, obviously the ones who concede more, and I don't think they've got the record of a team who's going to go down. Personally, I agree with everyone else. You can probably discount Trafford, Stamford, Barwell. I think they pick up handy results on a fairly regular basis.
Grantham's a tricky one, though, isn't it? Because Grantham, was it last show? They were mid-table, weren't they?
Yeah, they're a team that really have... their position reflects the way they're playing at this moment in time. You're never quite sure what to expect of the teams in the bottom half of the table. That's a difficulty. You've got to predict it. In reality, Witten with 27 points, they've got teams above them up to 34 points. But they played, you know, they've all played more games. And that's the one thing they have. But if you say, you're right, if you only get the draws, it's 4 points... I think it's going to go down to the wire with Witten this season. I think it's going to really, really be close.
And as we said,
if it was a team out of that, I think it would be Grantham, though, the team I would pick that would replace them. Because I think, unfortunately, you're going to mention.
I'm going to mention the fact that teams like Frickley, Grantham, Stamford, they can all play, and so can Witten. So I don't think it's as clear cut as.
One thing I'd say in Witten's favour is that they've actually won more games than Whitby at home, and Whitby are in 10th in playoff contention, potentially.
You win this round, Birkin. Go on, James.
As I say, seems like Frickley and Grantham, they're used to this sort of situation now as well. Yes. Trafford, for the first time in a couple of seasons, they've done it in the lower divisions, so they've kind of got a grasp. Plus, they've had a massive reshuffle recently. Witton, first time in a couple of years, but Witton are a club, coming back to budgets, as mentioned at the start of the season, they're a club that don't tend to change it throughout. They have, say, straight line, so money situation, they don't have to worry then, because they know they're sticking to the budget, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, all it comes down to, as you're saying there, it will come down to the last game of the season.
You're right in the fact that if you used to it, Frickley are and have been for a number of seasons now, to battle it out at the very end, you know, and that's the difference.
Have they still got Gavin Allott there as well?
That's yeah, and he's tremendous. You know, he's on contract and he's a player that I'm sure, you know, would like to, or possibly could be going elsewhere, because he's top quality as well.
But can we write Stocksbridge off? They're always down near the bottom and they never, ever, ever get relegated.
This is why we need Roy Sully. Roy Sully's always championing Stocksbridge survival this season.
They've just brought a player in that I think everyone went, wow, why has he gone there? And, you know, I'm sure my colleagues who are both reporters will remind me of the name of that person.
What, is that on my patch? So
yeah, Stocksbridge. He's from Banks.
Nathan Joines.
Nathan Joines, he's been there a while.
He's been there a couple of months. But to be honest, I had the same reaction when I saw Nathan Joines gone to Stocksbridge. I kind of went, it's actually a step down, wasn't it?
He's scored 17 goals this season.
I ordinarily would have thought throughout this campaign and compared to campaigns in the past that Stocksbridge may well get out of it, but I've got a feeling this season it may well be Stocksbridge season. And I love going to Stocksbridge, got a great affiliation, know quite a few people there, ex-FC United player there as well, but I mean it's a great place to go, and if you're not going to get promoted, it's always a ground that you love going back to in the Northern Prem, because picturesque, very, very friendly. But I feel for them this year. I don't think they're going to get out of it unless the teams above them implode even more. Then Stocksbridge themselves, I think, are doomed, unfortunately.
We were saying before about draws, and can they start rebuilding for next season? Probably not. But Stafford, they probably can. They just brought in Graham Heathcote, former Altrincham manager, all-round legend.
Of course, at
Moss Lane, and he's going to be there for a while. You'd have thought, and he's going to be putting foundations down for next season. They're probably getting relegated this year.
That's why the Roy Men. That's why he's coming, basically, yeah. Isn't it? Because they know. I think they've got a realization that they're going to probably go down. Build for next season. They've got a tremendous facility there, great ground, great history, and again, they're a team. I mean, we wouldn't be sat here 5 years ago talking about Drawsden and the likes of Stafford. They were both playing in FA Cup games and beating teams in the second round and the third round, and they were doing all sorts.
We'll mention an FA Cup game.
Sorry about that, yes.
I'm not sure at what stage Drawsden will be officially relegated, but we must surely be closing in on it now.
February you can get relegated, yeah. Can't you? End of February.
Well, I mean, mathematically, what we would need to get Stato Paul onto that, yes, and look at it.
So, that is the end of part two of the MPL show, unless anyone else has got anything else to add.
Just a quick word about Barwell, because Barwell came to FC United a few weeks ago and were beaten only by 2-0, and the both goals came in very late on, 76 minutes and then about 83 minutes. But just to let fans who aren't aware, they only had two players on the bench, and the reason being because the captain, including three other players, got actually stuck on the motorway, broke down, so therefore four of their main players unfortunately were in the same car, and therefore they couldn't play the team that they wanted to play. And that's one of the reasons why I think, looking at Barwell, even against FC United, they were stubborn, they were difficult to play against without a full team, you know, and I expect them to stay up, but it was you know, it's a difficult ask when you haven't got your captain and three of your best players all sat in a car, and they still did a decent job, so they'll stay up this year.
I've got a good fact about Barwell. Well, it might not even be a fact, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Stand by your
but
bets.
Barwell possibly had the longest ever run unbeaten in the league of any team in senior non-league football. It's either them or St. Blaise.
You can't say a fact and then say it's either
you
them
can't
or
you qualify
else.
It with another team.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It was something like 75 games unbeaten in senior league competition when they were rising up the leagues.
Well, in our commercial break, someone will get onto the old interweb, find that information out, and we'll either poo-poo you or we'll agree with you with a cheer and a charge of a glass and a laugh at Ben.
Oh, we could just go to the bar. Hey. Right, that's the end of part two of the MPL show. Up next is a news in brief section.
It's not like live TV.
Hold on, that sounds like the Twitter that went out at Hyde last night, news in briefs.
Mm. That's what I was referring to.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not seen the tweet, have a look at it.
I did. I went on work experience at live TV and I had to write a script for Weathering Leather.
Well, it's better than Topless Darts.
And on that note, we'll be back very shortly with news on Division 1 North and Division 1 South.
Darlington fans have been hailed by Harrogate Railway Athletic officials after helping to set a new club record attendance at the Yorkshire club. Since promotion from the NCEL in 2006, the Railway Men's previous record league attendance was 703, recorded in October 2010 when they entertained Chester at Station View. On Saturday though, 1,026 turned up to see the encounter, with the Quakers bringing an estimated 900 of the crowd arriving all the way from the northeast. Proud officials at Gresley FC have announced that they've joined the growing list of MPL clubs who've attained the Football Association's sought-after Chartered Standard Club status. The First Division South club revealed on Sunday that they'd received formal notification from the FA that their plaque and certificate was on the way. Gresley have joined fellow MPL members Buxton, Ilkeston and Matlock Town, along with fellow First Division South club Brigtown, and from the north Salford City and Wakefield, who have all passed the FA's strict criteria in the final 3 months of the year. This has been by demonstrating their ongoing commitment to raise standards and provide positive experience for players, coaches, referees, administrators and volunteers alike. And finally, Carlton Town have launched a new podcast to entertain fans and keep them all in touch with the latest news at the club. More than 200 supporters have already heard interviews with manager Lee McJanet and Carlton star Grant Brindley on Miller's Radio, which was launched in time for their 5-0 win over Romulus in their final First Division South fixture of 2013. New press officer James Morton fired off the questions in the interviews, which are available to download via Carlton's club website. He's planning many more over the second half of the season, after teaming up with the club's new commercial manager, Brian Dennett, to get the new service up and running for the fans.
Welcome back to The Magnet here in Stockport.
The award-winning
2014
Magnet. With its own brewery this year.
Oh, really?
Being built outside as we speak in this weather. Can you believe it? We're talking about football. They're out building it. Come on.
So anyway, welcome
to... What do you mean, anyway?
Have any football teams sent us beer this month?
No.
No. Disgraceful. Sheffield FC, where are you? We know you guys, listen. And you've got your own brewery. In the other side of the ground.
Come on, David Bell. Come on.
We're joined here at the award-winning Magnet by Swampy from
Don't
FC
you dare
Radio.
And the Radio 5 Live non-league show.
And from the non-league show,
Thank
of course.
You.
Aaron Flanagan for the Evening News.
Hello.
Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Hello.
And James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
He's also a commentator, by the way.
Hey?
He's a commentator.
Okay.
For Hyde.
Yeah.
Oh, and from Hyde FC.
26nil.com.
26nil.com, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, they've got catchy names.
If you're wondering where Roy Sewell is, so are we.
He's stuck on he's on the A6. He's on the A666. No surprise. He's got
no. He is actually here. He's just that he's not. He's got a sore throat tonight. He's just absolutely.
He knows his league position. He's just keeping very quiet.
Basically, for those wondering why we're chatting on a bit, it's delaying tactics because we're going to be going to Division 1 South very shortly. We need Roy here.
We're in South now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes. James Hayes is here from the MPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And you've been putting out the feelers, trying to get some correspondence in. What's happened?
Okay, main question tonight was, basically, when's the main time to start panicking about the season? So obviously relegation, promotion... When's it really going to start kicking in? A little bit we touched on beforehand. Three main comments tonight. One from Rico, who's a Charlie fan. He's saying, keep calm, promotion is actually coming for him. One from Mark Keohan, who's a Radcliffe Borough fan.
What did he say?
He's got about nine pages there, so just keep it brief. He's worse than me, this one.
The main comment was, if we're still in the bottom two by February, that's when we start panicking and continue going on.
Is he insisting that the panic hasn't already started?
Well done, you should be a journalist.
Panic on the streets of Radcliffe.
When we come to the North House, speaking on behalf of Radcliffe anyway for that bit. And one from Whitton Albion, Graham, who's a Whitton Albion fan. If we don't beat Stocktooth on Saturday, it's going to be a long season.
Panic on the streets of Whitton. Panic on the streets of Kids Grove.
That's interesting because we didn't.
I wondered to myself.
I am going to get that bus out tonight. It was interesting because we never mentioned the Stocktooth Whitton match, but that's quite a big game, isn't it? So well spotted that Whitton fan. But apparently, if Stocktooth win, Whitton doomed according to that guy.
That's when he started panicking and really has to start building.
Any more correspondence?
Not for that one.
And you know what that means, don't you? No one else is panicking. Everyone's keeping it all under the radar. That's what that means.
Oh, is that just the southern half of this division just don't care about this show?
Under the table.
As the kids say nowadays, they're all chill.
Yeah, or they've chewed off their fingernails and the knuckles and they can't type anymore with the nerves of it all. Anyway, Division 1 South, but you can get in touch, by the way, with the MPL Facebook group.
Facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group.
Right, so, Division 1 South, we've delayed it enough. Aaron, though, sitting where Roy Seal normally sits.
He's been to one game, we know that.
Interesting fact. Here it comes. Hit us with it.
Oh, it's not a fact. I was just it's a fascinating division. It really is. Look at the title race. There was a big game last night. Colville went to Hales Owen and won 3-0. If Hales Owen would have won, they would have been 8 points clear at the top. And it really was a big game. It was a shock result for me. Hales Owen for me were the kind of probably the pick before the season, simply because of Ben Hazley up front with the goals, managing to retain him. But Colville are on a bit of a roll. With the games in hand, potentially putting themselves in with a real shot of winning it now.
In the previous shows, we've been highlighting League Town a lot.
Yeah,
League Town are still there with the 3 games in hand, but like you say, Colville coming.
I mean, you have to mention that League are crumbling a little bit. Maybe not crumbling. Wow. Maybe that's a little bit.
Send your correspondence in.
Maybe that's a little bit extreme. Yeah.
Send the comments page, ladies and gentlemen. They could do with some.
Maybe it is a little bit extreme about League, but they went and lost 2-0 to Kidsgrove, no disrespect to Kidsgrove, but they're not a very good
side this
year.
They're down the bottom end, aren't they? But Mickleover Sports as well, an old name from Premier Division days gone by, and they're firmly in the playoffs as well. Obviously, down the bottom end, we've got Eastwood, who are doing a Drawlston this year, would appear in Division 1 South. Not solid at all this season.
Yeah, you got a bit wrong, didn't you? Yes.
And Bedworth down there. Aaron, you had something else to say before I interrupted you?
No, I just wanted to mention Mickle over there, kind of incredible rise to the top. And I don't know the results well enough. I don't know whether they have been on a winning run or not. But when I watched them at Kidsgrove, probably 3 months back now, they weren't very good. They were struggling near the bottom. But they've obviously got themselves together. They had a few technically all right plays and they must have just rallied together and got a bit of a run. They're now in fourth place with a great points tally of 49. And again, looking like promotion contenders when a few months ago they never looked like getting anywhere near. So fair play to them.
From a neutral's perspective, though, you're down a little bit further down the table. Scarborough Athletic got a few games in hand, only a few points off the playoffs, and I think people really want to see Scarborough start climbing through the leagues again.
They were in the same sort of kind of the same position this time last month when we did the Christmas special.
They were indeed. I think the team, you look at a team that are going to make a real push, not only for perhaps playoffs but actually for promotion, are Colville. Because you look at the fact that they've only conceded, you know, the goals compared to, you know, or lost. Sorry, not goals conceded. Lost, in total, they've only lost 2 games all season. Now that says to me that they're going to be hard. Well, I've got it down as two.
It is two. I was on the wrong column.
2 games for me. The likes of Colville, the likes of Mickleover, and I think you're right. I think Newcastle Town, though, are a surprise pack. They've got a new management team there, I think, and they've been doing very, very well. I think I can like to see the likes of Scarborough, Colville, Newcastle Town get into those playoff positions, and one of those three together with League up there, and obviously the team that are at the top are doing tremendously well in Hales Owen. It's between those teams, I think, really, more than anything, because they've got games in hand and they're going to be doing well. Can Stop I just pointing at me.
Can I just put in a little note about Scarborough? They have lost their last three at time of recording.
And that's kind of the, a different. They were actually informed the last time we spoke with Scarborough.
They were, but the teams that they've lost to, which maybe insist that they might make the place that maybe they won't go up, is the fact that they've lost to Mikulova, they've lost to Romulus, and they lost to Colville. They lost to three of the fellow promotion chasing teams. Really, it kind of insists that they might not quite be good enough to do it under pressure against the better teams, which maybe means that they're not going to be one of the favoured ones if they do manage to make it to the playoffs.
I mean, we don't know the games they've got left. I mean, that's because we know, let's be all fair, so it's not, this is not some form of studio where we've got everything to hand. We're basically in a pub.
Oh, don't.
So therefore,
come on. We're all over it. Like
the point I make it is, we are professional, but without the kind of materials that you require.
We're professional to a point, is what you're trying
to
say.
Yeah.
And just to add as well, it's interesting how the First Division South, the leaders have lost six games, which is the same as the leaders in the Premier Division. Does it matter? Because you made a point of saying about games lost. Does it matter?
It's something I look at every year, because I'm well into looking through stats and stuff at this point in the season, and especially with Curzon in the North Division being in such a similar position, we're looking at all the statistics of kind of like, well, are we on course for it and whatnot? And you do find that the teams at the top win the league having lost five or six games, and it's been like that across the Evo Stick for the past 3 or 4 years. Colville are obviously well on course now for achieving that sort of goal, which is why you've possibly got to say that they're the favourites.
I've got to make a point about Kano Pillars from Nigeria.
I'm glad. It's about time someone
it
did.
Is.
Well, you know, we've always been wanting to say it, but you know, we're going to leave it to Berkey.
They won the Nigerian Premier League after losing 15 out of their 38 league games. So, I mean, they won the rest and all that, but the thing is, you can lose a few along the way. It's not the end of the world if you do.
It's
lose.
How many you win, isn't it? The same
yeah,
thing.
That's the main thing.
On that note, it's now time to draw our eyes to Division 1 North. And, well, if it's reckoning day in the Premier Division, well, on the same day, Curzon Ashton are playing Warrington Town on Saturday, January the 18th. Aaron, discuss. That's the best question I've ever
Ashley Ben, it's just a question that you've asked. You think it's a good one?
It wasn't even a question though, it was a statement. Discuss.
It's clearly a massive game. There's a lot riding on it after what happened the last time we met, and obviously got abandoned due to failure.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't me, I promise. But we were 2-0 down. It's a massive game. I literally have no idea. I'm normally one to put a prediction on most games, but I physically cannot.
Curzon, they've been on a cracking run. I mean, they've won, I think, the last seven games. But the thing is, they've been making very heavy weather of it. They've won out of those seven games, six of them have been by one goal, and they've been against teams down the bottom end of the table as well. I think Curzon, really, they're sort of flattering to deceive a little bit. They don't play the best football in the world. They play very narrow. No, it's true. I mean, I don't upset the Flan clan or anything, but the
Flan clan.
But Curzon, they're just very well organised. They do the jobs.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you say that, because I'm going to interject here as well and say I agree with you. But that is the team of champions. They've plodded on through the season, just got on and got on and won and won and won. So I've been watching them against Wakefield early in the season, 0-0 at half time, second half, still an even contest. They've only scored five goals. But you leave that game going, well, actually, were they the better team? Curzon versus Warrington. Very, very tough encounter. Warrington play a certain way. I don't like it. I think it's it goes back to, for me, I mean, forgive me for your Warrington fan, I know you've got to try and win games and get out of division if you want to, but it's like watching Watford back in 1980. Absolutely. It really is. It's not conducive. It really isn't. And it doesn't matter what kind of pitch you're playing on, they play that way. They get the ball and just bump, it's hoofed up. It's working for them and they are beating teams.
Swampy. Watford were runners-up in the FA Cup, they were runners-up in the league. You know, it was effective for them. And you don't win any style points in football, it's whether you win the game or not.
Of course it is, yes. And Warrington fans themselves will be very happy if they go get promoted. But I think it's remiss of us now not to bring in. Well.
Yeah, Roy, Is that you actually getting your voice back on it now?
Okay. he's been sat here for 2 hours. Eventually.
I've just been listening to Swampy talking, that's all it is. It just intrigues me.
Well, Bertie's been
doing well tonight
as well.
Let's ask you a question to kick things off here. Have you ever been to Watford?
Have you ever been to Watford, yes. Yeah?
Good.
Yes, I have, yeah. Still looking for the ball.
Do you ever think...
Have you got an Ovaltine factory in Watford?
They don't need the Ovaltine factory, do they, when they've got that football to look at?
Right, you've missed your golden moment of Division 1 South. This is the Division 1 North bit.
I was looking forward.